All right, Sunday 11:10-24. We're looking at keeping your head in the game, part three. And this is, it's always cool the way the Lord kind of spins things. This is called the runaway mind train, mind, M-I-N-D train. The runaway mind train. Remember the ride at Six Flags? The runaway mind train? It was always one of my favorite rides. It was.
So that would be the subtitle of this?
Yeah. It was great for entertainment purposes, but it is a catastrophe for the walk of faith. Satan attempts through every avenue he can find to touch our minds with fear, false evidence appearing real. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He loves to take us on his runaway mind train, M-I-N-D. Sometimes we must run after the runaway mind train to recapture our thoughts. Satan's goal is to capture your thoughts. That's 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Captivity here means to make captive. Satan is likened to a roaring lion. A roaring lion in a cage is no threat, but a lion loose is. 1 Peter 5, 6. We'll look at that one. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, let's read 5. That's good. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. All right, humble. What is the roar about? I've always heard that the reason that the lion roars is to paralyze his prey. Yeah. He makes a loud roar that causes the prey to freeze. Except in this case, I remember Brother Hagin's dream where the lion, two lions were running, and there was him and another person, and they were running, and he'd stopped and turned around and just faced the lion, and the other man took off running. And the lions just stopped and sniffed him and walked off. They called his bluff. In Genesis 1, we see how Father created. He was faced with a situation. The earth was without form and void. And his spirit hovered over the waters. It doesn't say how long it took him. I don't know how long he meditated on what he was going to say, but he did. I know it's easy to see in a book. It seemed like he just did it like this, like this, like this, like this, and maybe he did. Because he's supremely developed in it. But it didn't always come like that. Sometimes we have to wait. We have to pray in the Spirit. We have to get God's mind on it and say, okay, Lord, what would you have me speak about this situation here? And whatever he says, you do it. All right. God did not panic, but he waited on the Spirit to give him what to say. No fear here. This seemingly runaway mind train was turned around and started going the other way. The way of faith. God captured his thoughts and used them to target the situation. This is what Jesus taught to his disciples when he spoke to the mountain. When he said, speak to the mountain. He cursed the fig tree, dried up from the roots. He said, you can do the same thing by speaking to the mountain. Do we just speak anything off the cuff? No, we know that doesn't work after trying it for many years, not getting anywhere. No, we wait till God says speak. I've had a few times in my life where he's given me the word to speak, and I'm telling you, we're talking within 24 hours. It changed. The devil knows that you have been given power over him through the name of Jesus. He launches fear, the roar, to get ahead of you. If you keep your head in the game, this will not affect you. Right here, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What's a sound mind? It's one that's not a double-minded mind. Single-minded. Jesus sent us some help. He said he was going to be sending a comforter that would lead and guide us into all truth, show us things to come. He will show us what we need to say to whatever mountain that comes our way. And if he doesn't, then don't do anything. Dead works are still dead works. All they do is discourage us. We'd be better to say nothing until we have a word from the Lord. All right. Like Brother Hagin used to say, don't let your saying negate your praying. All right. This is Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God has an answer. What was God's will that day? Light being light was. Okay, he gives us his will. The word we speak from God is his will. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When we speak in line with his will, that's his purpose. His will is always his purpose. All right? You must be the one to capture the situation. God has given you everything you need to succeed there, the armor of God. It's all about your mind. Every bit of it. I'm not going to read it today. I've read it so many times. It's all about the mind here and how you can stay off the runaway mind train. Just as God did not consider the devastation the devil had done, he looked to his spirit and took control of the situation. He showed us how to do it because we are made in his image and likeness to act just like him. God will not do it if you... God won't do it for you. He won't do it for you. I wish he would, but he really kind of does by his spirit being there and giving us what to say. He kind of does do it for you, okay? Galatians 2 and 3. Tell you what, this book is an awesome book, Galatians. Let's start with verse 1 there. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, he is treading lightly. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. See this infiltration I talked about in the previous teaching going on. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. This is the history of the church, y'all, right here. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Bad. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I sent unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can you see this infiltration? How? It is absolutely leavened the whole lump. Why you got such crap coming out of the church that's no more based in Scripture? Why? Because once this starts, they don't see clearly anymore. They've been compromised. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, if therefore Christ the minister of sin, God forbid. For I build again the things which I destroyed, and make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. People's minds are all goofed up because of this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you, and it, the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. God has always been a faith God from the very beginning, all the way through. Nothing's changed with him. Just this messed up group of people that wouldn't obey God. He put a bunch of junk on them and let them just spin their wheels. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all nations be blessed. So then they, not of the law, but of faith. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. Ugh. If it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law on the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The church should not be under Jewish practices. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and ye be Christ, and are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you walk in the flesh, you come under the curse, the law. You step right into the devil's territory. All right, Jesus redeemed us from the curse. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been compromised, and it is because of nothing but following. It is because of following, following the flesh instead of the spirit. Let's read Galatians 5 and we'll be done here. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty, what? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is that runaway mind train. Double-minded. How can a double-minded church move forward? They're going to have to be taught the Word of God and come out of it for us to move forward. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none other wise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I tell you what. You talk about even Christians bowing up. I can see Jews bowing up, but Christians bow up at you when you start touching on these things. They're so infiltrated, ingrained in it. Totally mind renewed to it. To where they can't even see the truth of the gospel and what it really says. That's what it does. It says Israel couldn't see it. They're blinded. That's what's happening to the church today. All right, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. This compromise. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. This is the devil uses this against us. When you don't see things properly, the devil can use it against you. And he is a purveyor of the law. Absolutely and totally. All right. I'm going to quit there.